2024 has been an eventful year to say the least. From elections, assassinations and war to high-profile arrests, acquittals and breakdancing, 2024 has had it all. So let's explore these big events and worldwide trends that define the past year, starting all the way back in January. While 2024 might have proven the old adage that change is only constant, when it first began, everything seemed like it might stay the same. While 2022 and 2023 had seen new wars erupt, going into 2024, people weren't holding their breath waiting for peace. Lots of the old conflicts from previous years kept marching on. A year later and the front line in Ukraine has barely moved, while the West Bank and Gaza Strip are still engulfed in conflict. The numerous lesser well-known civil wars across the world, like in Myanmar, faded into the background for everyone they didn't affect. The outlook for politics at the start of 2024 was different though. With elections scheduled across the world, including the UK, France and the US, everyone knew that there was a lot of potential for change. Taiwan was the first major country in line in what would become a rare event this year. Their incumbent Democratic Progressive Party won the presidency with over 40% of the vote. And this wasn't a complete victory though, with the DPP losing the majority in the Taiwanese parliament. Looking back on it now at how incumbents have fared throughout the year, they ought to be happy they didn't lose much more. This result could have had major implications for the future and China's increased aggression against the island nation. And while Taiwan was wrapping up their election, the US political machine was still getting started. In February, Biden won his bid to stand for re-election in the Democratic primaries, facing very little opposition to his ticket. This was despite clear health concerns, of course. Even though the media denied it, everyone could see it. In January, a prominent professor gave Biden a 75% chance of living through a second term. A month later, and the special counsel investigating his use of classified documents described Biden in much less favorable terms. While he found no wrongdoing on Biden's part, he did conclude that Biden had significant memory issues and limitations. And this was just one warning sign amongst thousands, but they all seemed to fall on deaf ears. Even at this point in the year, many Democrats felt it was too late to change candidates and impossible to convince Biden to step aside. Meanwhile, Germany became one of the first countries in the EU to legalize cannabis possession and use. While the country has been de facto legal in countries like the Netherlands for decades, Germany became the first major economy in the bloc to write it into their laws. While legislation could potentially bring in billions in tax revenue and cannabis is almost certainly less harmful than other legal drugs like alcohol, it still had its critics who wondered what the proliferation of the drug might do to Germany as a whole. Depending how it all goes over for the next few years, this could be the start of a wave of legislation across the continent. In March in the UK, the government blocked the sale of the Telegraph Group, one of the major newspaper companies, to a UAE-led business consortium. It came as a shock considering the UK has sold pretty much everything of value over the past few decades. Whether it's luxury properties and land rights in the capital, huge estates and tracts of land in the countryside, or even the biggest sports teams and leagues, the UAE and other foreign interests have bought up all of the UK. But the UK government decided to finally draw the line at newspapers and the media, although how long this will last remains to be seen. In April, we then saw another big election for the world, this time in South Korea. The country operates a system similar to the US, with parliamentary and presidential elections separated by years. The winner of the previous election was hoping to gain a majority in parliament. So far, with a powerful opposition party in control of the National Assembly, he'd been unable to truly govern. Unfortunately for him, his party failed to achieve a majority, seemingly sealing his fate as a placeholder president. A week later, in India has also had an election with nearly a billion people registered to vote. And while Modi's ruling party lost some seats in parliament and the opposition to his rule got a lot more organized, he still remained in almost complete control of the country. The ongoing proxy war in the Middle East was also heating up in April as well, with Iran and Israel directly launching missiles and drone strikes at each other. While Iran's attempts rarely got through Israel's air defenses, Israel was able to effectively strike Iran at will. It compounded with their other victories against Hezbollah and Hamas, both organizations funded and armed by Iran, but it also led to a mass wave of hatred towards Israel. But of course, for most people, it wasn't just the election and wars that defined this year. For many in the video games industry, 2024 was just the continuation of a collapse that had started a year earlier. Plummeting sales, mediocre games, and a lack of easy investment has led to a wave of cutbacks and redundancies across the industry. In April, the company Epic Games, who have been lousy with their money ever since Fortnite took off, also announced hundreds more layoffs. They're a company that's been giving out games for free for years, trying to buy out Steam's dominant market share. So to see them laying off their staff made people realize that the games industry was far more bloated than anyone had realized. Although in an industry with such a bad record of treating its workers, in lots of ways, it was all still business as usual. There were still some glimmers of hope and beauty throughout it all. One of those was the total solar eclipse seen across North America. When the next one occurs in 2044, we can only hope it darkens the skies of a world at peace. Then moving into May, and things got even worse for Iran when its president and foreign minister were both killed in a helicopter crash, attempting to fly over a mountain range during a massive storm doomed both the vehicle and any chances of a rescue once they went down. down. And this was especially damaging to the Iranian government's future, as the prime minister had been slated to replace the supreme leader once he stepped down. And now they've been forced to reshuffle and come up with some new options. But May also saw Trump getting found guilty in his hush money trial. While Democrats protested that this was in fact a legitimate investigation into wrongdoing, the rest of the country argued that this was just a politically motivated way for the Democrats to smear and attack the former president, completely stopping him in his tracks and ruining any chances of him becoming president. Whether or not they said it though, most people knew that nothing would happen until after the election. That would be the only real factor in whether he would see actual consequences or not. Then in June, Assange was finally freed after years and years of uncertainty and embassy squatting. The plea deal they agreed saw Assange finally allowed to leave the UK for his native Australia, in a win against the forces of censorship. But as of this video, the situation for Snowden is still very bleak. But in possibly the biggest event of the year though, an interview with a random woman went viral launching the career of Hawk Tua Girl. Her subsequent career would become emblematic of a social media hype machine gone completely insane. From just one viral moment, she capitalized as much as possible, launching her own podcast like everyone else does now, and doing everything she could to stay in the public eye. And she was just the tip of the iceberg of a huge wave of people, doing everything they could to get their 5 minutes of fame. And from that fame, either doing a rug pull with a cryptocurrency, or creating yet another generic podcast. If you've ever run your own business, you'll know how much of a pain it is to have all these different applications, all the costs that go into this, and all the research you have to do to find the right applications for your business. Which is why I want to tell you about Odoo. Odoo is the all-in-one management software that simplifies business operations for entrepreneurs. With applications for invoicing, accounting, project management, inventory, website creation, and more, Odoo streamlines every aspect of day-to-day management. And your first application is free for life, including hosting and support. And you can also upgrade to a paid plan when you add a second application. A really great feature with Odoo is their project application that offers a flexible, comprehensive project management solution designed to help businesses stay organized, track progress, and collaborate with your team members effectively. With Odoo Project, you can effortlessly manage tasks, deadlines, budgets, and resources all in one place, allowing you to stay organized with a comprehensive view of your projects. Odoo's detailed dashboard allows you to customize stages and access multiple views tailored to your needs. The Kanban view organizes tasks by stage, where you can drag and drop tasks like sticky notes to keep your pipeline well organized. Then there's the Gantt view that provides a timeline overview of tasks, dependencies, and scheduled dates. And the List view displays essential data and enables batch actions, making it simple yet powerful. And you can navigate all project-related documents seamlessly using built-in actions in the control panel, allowing you to save and share custom views with your team for instant access to the data that matters most. If you're an entrepreneur, this is huge for your productivity, as you can streamline everything with advanced task features like subtasks, recurring tasks, and dependencies, whilst at the same time you can also schedule activities, whether to-dos, calls, or meetings, and set reminders all synchronized with your calendar. Odoo makes tracking progress effortless. With the Timesheets application, employees can also record time spent on tasks in real time. And you can use all of this data to track costs, manage budgets, evaluate team performance, and even invoice clients for hours worked, meaning you can stay connected with your team using Odoo's real-time collaboration tools. And with their built-in chatter feature that lets you send emails, add notes, or attach files directly to tasks, you're able to centralize all information in one place to improve efficiency and communication. I highly recommend Odoo, so check them out with the link in the description below or use the pinned comment down below to get started today with your first app for free. Disney then saw their worst failure in a year of disappointments when The Acolyte released to awful reviews and terrible viewership. For many fans, it came as a final nail in the coffin for Disney's Star Wars, and the general treatment of their franchises. While the rest of the year would see some success for Disney, it wasn't really their own doing. Pixar and Deadpool's enduring popularity prevented a complete disaster later on in the year, of course. But their habit of grinding their properties into dust did seem to finally catch up to them in 2024, and was a final wake-up call for the studios. The US election was also heating up again with their first presidential debate. With nowhere to hide, Biden's health problems and faltering speech were now on full display to the public, and all Trump had to do was watch as his opposition crumbled right in front of him.
And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
Even with such a dismal performance, it still took nearly a month for Biden to actually step down and let Kamala take over the ticket. By then though, it was already far too late to make a difference on the final result. While people's eyes were certainly on America's election cycle throughout the year, July saw both France and the UK reach the end of theirs. First, in the tail end of June, France went to the polls for the first time, with a second election held shortly after to finalize the results. It wasn't an election that legally had to happen. Macron could have technically waited years for the next one, but politically he had to act. And the people of France grew their hatred towards the establishment. Earlier on in the year, right-wing candidates pretty much swept the EU's parliamentary elections. Macron's long-term presidential rival Marie Le Pen gained a massive amount of power, and Macron had to shore up his position in response. In the end though, the results weren't really to anyone's liking. Yet again, France had a hung parliament, and Macron's centrist party lost even more power while both the left and the right gained support. An election that just showed how much division and hatred there is in France between both parties. And an election that was meant to solve France's political stability ended up making things even more polarized. It wasn't an arrangement that would last for long. At pretty much the same time, the UK was also staring down the barrel of another election. After well over a decade in power, the Conservative Party had run through every possible leader it could offer. And they ended up with nobody's favourite or anyone's elected choice, Rishi Sunak. Keir Starmer, as leader of the opposition, barely had to do anything. Everyone expected a landslide purely based on how tired people were of their current government. And when the results finally came through in early July, it was even worse than most people had thought for the Conservatives. Labour won a huge amount of seats in Parliament, giving them an overwhelming majority. But under the surface, they didn't actually win that many votes. People just wanted change because of the UK's first-past-the-post system, meaning Labour won nearly two-thirds of Parliament with only just a third of the total votes. Meanwhile, Reform UK had massively damaged the Conservatives by taking nearly 15% of the total vote and getting themselves a few seats in Parliament. But while their footprint in Westminster is small right now, they could easily grow to replace the Conservatives as the UK's main right-wing political party, with even the backing of Elon Musk, making it clear that no matter the country, everybody wants change. With terrible economies, growing crime, and growing instability throughout the West, it's clear why so many drastic changes have happened this year. July also saw an event that should have had a much more lasting impact on the news, but almost faded away with everything else that happened in the year. At one of his election rallies, an armed gunman climbed up onto a nearby roof and attempted to assassinate Trump. We all saw the footage, the bullet missed by just millimeters. One gust of wind or one minor shake of the gunman's hand decided the fate of the world in that moment. And who knows what could have happened if he hadn't missed. It's fairly certain that America's political tension would have boiled over into all-out chaos. And it was a complete disgrace that this happened from a security perspective. But luckily he survived. And then as July turned into August, the Olympics started up in Paris and dominated the world's news feed for weeks. The recent elections were still fresh in people's minds, and politics immediately found its way into the event. First, there was the shockingly terrible opening ceremony, and its parody of the Last Supper, which angered the entire world. Then there was China's intervention and the silencing of Taiwan, banning all mention of their country flag and national identity from the Olympics. Russia's exclusion from the event entirely also detracted from the overall competitiveness, in spite of the good reasons for their ban. But even with those things in mind, the quality of the competition and the dedication of the athletes easily shined through. It gave people a welcome break from the political chaos of the past few months, even with all the bogus political virtue signaling that was forced into the event. However, far more people remember Turkey shooting silver medalist and his lack of equipment than remember the political controversies. In fact, the most negative thing that people remember was Australia's amateur breakdancer, which they entered into the newly created Olympic event. Nobody should condone the harassment she received, but it's also not wrong to face up to reality and call a spade a spade. September would then prove to be an incredibly big month for the music industry, although not in a way that most people expected. Earlier in the year, Kendrick Lamar and Drake's public feud had brought some deeply disturbing allegations to light. This month would prove, though, that Drake's alleged crimes were far from an isolated incident. P. Diddy had suddenly come into the news with a story of his depraved parties, the freak-off parties, completely pulling the veil back on how disturbing Hollywood and the music industry really is, especially at the upper echelons of the industry. In March, police had raided the rapper's LA mansion and found a treasure trove of drugs, weapons, and reportedly over 1,000 bottles of baby oil. And suddenly, all the people connected with P. Diddy, which was a huge chunk of the American elite, were now shaking in their boots. And the controversy really started when an ex-partner of the musician accused him of using his position in the industry to exploit and abuse her. She described a world of predatory parties, where women would be coerced, drugged, and forced into performing depraved acts. The case was settled out of court the very next day, but it would turn out to be only the tip of a very large iceberg. Over the next few days, more and more allegations added up, eventually leading to the rapper's arrest on the 16th, which we made an entire video on earlier in the year. We could easily see lots more crimes exposed in the industry over the next year, as it seems the top of the celebrity industry has some very disturbing secrets they're desperately trying to hide. A similar veil was also being lifted in the influencer world, as Mr. Beast, who enjoyed years of interrupted dominance in the YouTube world, suddenly found himself in hot water, as earlier in the year, allegations were made accusing him of workplace abuses and shady behind-the-scenes practices, especially concerning the issue with one of his friends. While the whole situation is a mess and we don't really know what the truth is here, it would prove to be a turning point in Mr. Beast's reputation online, a reputation that seemed almost indestructible. Whether or not this is legitimate though, that's up to you. But it was clear that people were losing patience in his brand with the release of Lunchly. The Lunchables-inspired product was seen by most as a blatant low-quality cash grab designed to dupe his younger audience. When people bought them, lots of people found they had already gone moldy and the supposed health benefits they advertised didn't really stand up to closer inspection. Angry responses to criticism from MrBeast business partners Logan Paul and KSI really didn't help the matter either. Although in the grand scheme of things, there wasn't really much here compared to everything else. But the next month would bring another influencer crashing down to reality. This time it was Johnny Somali, whose abusive-filled tour of the world finally came to an end. His general strategy for his streaming career was to go to a foreign country, intentionally abuse and antagonize its people, and then record the often violent results. Typically, his disrespect only earned him travel bans and slaps on the wrist, but that all changed when he was arrested in South Korea on October 26th for desecrating a monument. South Korean officials would later lock in a travel ban, preventing him from leaving the country before his trial in 2025. And if convicted, he might actually face up to 5 years in prison, perhaps even more if he's found guilty of other crimes as well. However, November's biggest event was by far the US election. In the days before it happened, polls and mainstream news organizations insisted that it was a 50-50 toss-up with no clear favorite, even though all the gambling markets said otherwise, and almost everybody knew this wasn't true. And the results obviously spoke for themselves. Trump swept every single swing state, taking the election by storm, being yet another huge monumental changing point in the Western political sphere, showing that people were sick to death of the current establishment. In the aftermath, nearly all the legal cases brought against him were thrown out or postponed indefinitely. Even strictly anti-Trump people like Mark Zuckerberg were now almost talking about him positively. Establishment figures from leading journalists to industry magnates nearly all fell in line to secure their place in the new administration. And the consequences of this are too large to know, but only the next 4 years will give us the answer. Hopefully for America though, this will go some way towards mellowing out the political division that's plagued the country for years. But for the rest of the world, there will be a lot of consequences as well. The Ukraine war, which has been raging since 2022, will most likely see an end soon, as Trump's indicated that he's dead set on bringing this to a close at the negotiating table. It's also big for Europe, as December saw France's imbalanced government finally implode and Macron's pick for PM get ousted. And it's really unclear whether Macron will be able to hang on to whatever power he has left, or if Marie Le Pen will swoop in to take advantage of the chaos. Germany's government is all but guaranteed to collapse sooner rather than later, with its snap elections expected early next year. And at the same time, Justin Trudeau has had massive amounts of pressure to step down, with almost all of Canada now hating their prime minister, leaving both Europe and Canada without any strong leaders as Trump comes into power, giving him a very strong position to negotiate from within the political bloc. 2024 was the year that showed us how much the world is really changing. From the political and geopolitical establishment to people's anger and frustrations. Trust in the entire financial system, our leaders, our culture is at an all-time low. Bitcoin skyrocketing above $100,000 showed this, as people are rejecting the nonsense they have to live through, which made 2024 such a pivotal year for all of us. And one massive piece of news that happened towards the end of this year really bears discussion, of course. But as we've already seen, people just mentioning this on YouTube often find themselves demonetized and censored. However, seeing the response to all of this, and the huge praise online for Luigi really highlighted the true extent of the changing times we're living through.